We'll move on to agenda item three, late submitted documents.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. We have to have a motion read before the late submitted documents, sir.
Oh, okay.
I'll be glad to make that motion, Mr. Chair. I move that the commission suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document numbers 2001A, 2002A, 2003A, 2004A, and 2005A.
Thank you, Commissioner. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion passes unanimously. The next agenda item is draft advisory opinion 2019-15 NORPAC. The next few items we're going to discuss are going to be draft advisory opinions, followed by the draft notice of availability. So we have that first draft, and I believe there's a presentation by Kevin Paulson and Bob Knopp of the Commission's General Counsel's Office.
We are, excuse me, Chair Traynor, this is Laura Sinner. We are unmuting Kevin.
Okay.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, thank you for your patience. Good morning, commissioners, and welcome to Chair Traynor. Before you is agenda document 20-01-A, which responds to a request from NORPAC, a non-connected political action committee, which asks whether it may deduct a flat rate, fixed percentage fee from earmarked contributions that it forwards to candidate committees in order to reimburse its merchant processing costs as well as its solicitation and administrative costs. The draft concludes that NORPAC may deduct the fee as proposed. However, the entirety of the fee would constitute a contribution to NORPAC. The draft also addresses how each component of the proposed transactions must be reported by NORPAC, as well as what information it must disclose to recipient candidate committees. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft. I'd be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Commissioners, any questions? None? Okay. I understand that we have Mr. Sharons, the NORPAC treasurer, on the line. Unmute him again on the line. Good morning, Mr. Sharons. If you have any comments for the commission, we'd be happy to hear them.
Yes, good morning. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. I do have one question for the commissioners. And it may be that this is clear in the documents. I'm also working at home, as many of you are, due to COVID-19 and I tried to read as best I could the entirety of the advisory opinion this morning while my children were trying to pull my hair out. So excuse me if I missed something that was blatantly obvious in the opinion itself. My question would be this, based on the advisory opinion that I read, if I may offer a hypothetical, let's say a donor gives an earmarked contribution to candidate John Doe, say in the amount of $500. Out of that $500, say $7 would be a credit card processing fee. As I mentioned in the request, there are two different aspects to the fee that we would deduct: a credit card fee and a fee just that would go back to the PAC to cover our operating expenses. So let's say $7 of that was a credit card fee and $8 would go back to the PAC for our operating expenditures. So a $15 fee in total that NORPAC would keep from the $500 earmark that was given from the donor. My question would be, do I, when I am reporting this, report the entire amount of the earmark as an earmark contribution? So in other words, $500 to John Doe, or is it $485 to John Doe and $15 to NORPAC? And connected to that, when I send the contribution, the earmarked contribution to the recipient John Doe committee, am I telling them that this is a $500 contribution and they should report it as $500? Or am I reporting it as a $485 contribution to the committee and telling them that we deducted $15 beforehand and that they are reporting that they received $485 from the donor and not the $500?
Mr. Chair, this is Kevin. I'm happy to address this question if you'd like.
Please, thank you.
Yes, so Mr. Schranz, the way the draft has treated the proposed transaction, what you've really proposed here are two separate contributions, and that's how the draft addresses the handling and the reporting of both contributions. So using the example you've laid out, there would be a $15 contribution to NORPAC and a $485 earmarked contribution that is forwarded on to the ultimate recipient candidate committee. So the $15 would be reported by NORPAC as a contribution to NORPAC, and the $7 that goes back to the credit card processor would be reported by NORPAC as an offsetting expenditure. What you then disclose to the commission and to the ultimate recipient is that you forwarded a $485 earmarked contribution to the ultimate recipient committee. Does that address the question?
Yeah, yes, I think so. Just one more point of clarification. For the credit card processing fee, my understanding from previous discussions with others at the FEC was that that amount was reported in the full amount. So that $7 would be reported as a contribution to the candidate and not as a donation to NORPAC. I might have misunderstood that in the past, but that was my understanding from previous discussions. I just wanted to clarify that, irrespective of the operating expenditure fee, the credit card processing fee, I had understood was reported as well as the original contribution towards the amount of the contributor's limit to that campaign or committee. So I just wanted to clarify that.
So what I think you're asking is about who the merchant processing costs are ultimately allocated towards, NORPAC or the recipient. And
right.
We have numerous advisory opinions that look at how we allocate processing fees. And we reviewed all those as a part of compiling this draft. What the extent of our AOs on this subject say is that we would generally allocate the entirety of the processing fee to the party that is really getting the benefit of the fee, who's being relieved of burden, a financial burden, by taking on the processing fee. And by allocating to NORPAC here, that is consistent with what we've done in all of our prior advisory opinions on the topic.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Paulson.
If I can make one more additional comment.
Sure.
Just from my perspective, it would seem like the offset would benefit the campaign committee because they would have to absorb those fees either way. So, if, for example, if someone were to make a credit card contribution on the website of a committee, instead of doing an earmarked contribution on our website, they would have to pay the fee. So by, I mean, ultimately it's the credit card processor who benefits, I suppose, but we are kind of offsetting that expenditure for the campaign by just sending them, you know, like a check instead of having the recipient or the donor rather directly donate to the campaign, and they would have to take off that fee anyways. It's kind of my inquiry.
Mr. Chairman, this is Robert Knopp. I would be happy to address that.
Yes, sure. Sir. Go ahead.
Okay. But if the contributor chooses to utilize your website, then actually the party that is being relieved of the burden of having to pay the merchant processor is your committee, sir, your PAC. And so that is why, although I agree with you, that if they were to use the website of a candidate and the candidate had an arrangement with the merchant processor to process the contributions for a fee, then in that case, it would be relieving the candidate committee of the burden. Here, if they choose instead to use NORPAC's website, they are actually relieving NORPAC of the burden, because NORPAC is the entity that has the contract with the merchant processor in this instance, not the candidate committee. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think so. Thank you.
All right. Okay, it's my understanding that there is unanimous support for draft A of document 20-01. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I hear. So, all those in favor of adoption?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously.